Now, ladies and gentlemen, in the newest episode of Rich in Facts, I bring on one of my best friends. He is an alumni of Boston College. He is a graduate from Berklee College. He completed his master's overseas, but most importantly, he is an amazing, multi-talented music artist, and he is way too good-looking for his own good. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Daniel Gazzola, a.k.a. Zola! How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How have you been?
I'm good, man. It's so good to have you on here. Like, I feel I've been waiting for this day for so long to get you on this podcast, bro. Like, this is like Rocky circling that date for his big fight. I'm just like, I'm so glad it's finally here. Oh, man.
Thank you for having me.
Hey,
I'm Rich and Rich in Facts.
I'm grateful, man. Rich in Facts and Rich welcomes you with open arms. But, you know, I like to add, of course, you're a Cambridge native, man. And it was only a couple years ago where you really took music to the level where you're at now. You've got songs that have basically hit hundreds of thousands of views on Spotify. You know, you've opened up for big time artists, which we'll get into specifically later. But, you know, first starting out, I want the audience to get to know you better, man. How did you get into music? I want the whole backstory, my friend.
The whole backstory. All right. So growing up, my parents were like, you have to have an artsy pursuit. I already had sort of like the math and soccer thing. And I ended up picking piano. My little sister did too, but later decided to do ballet. And piano was pretty chill. You know, I'm definitely grateful to have the background because it impacts like MIDI keyboard and programming on the music production front. But at the time, I wasn't a huge fan of classical piano. And in my head, that was like the only option in the music world. So like coming out of high school, I was like, oh, if I pursue music, it means, you know, go to some music conservatory and pursue being a concert pianist, which, one, I didn't love piano enough, and two, actually, well, that was just it. I just didn't love piano enough, and I didn't really have, like, the drive to do that because instrumentalists are crazy. So, yeah, then I went down, like, the math physics route at BC and swapped physics for philosophy towards the end. At the end of BC, I was a little burnt out on math, and I had been kind of like fooling. I'd been like DJing in the Boston area. Like, one of my friends that was a promoter knew I was making these little SoundCloud mixes and was like, yo, do you want to DJ? Hours canceled. And it just kind of like branched out from there. And then maybe after like a year of DJing, I started producing my own stuff. And then towards the end of BC, I applied to Berklee, potentially a little too early because I got super depressed there and like cut most of my classes. But then, yeah, maybe like a year and a half, 2 years ago, I don't know. I just started taking things more seriously. It's definitely my dream. It doesn't pay enough at the moment. So I'm job hunting for, you know, a corporate job, which will be something, I'm sure. But yeah, if it ever takes up more, you know, if I can make like 30, 35K a year for music, quit my job. It's freedom. I think I just want freedom. That's what I'm chasing right now. I don't like the whole corporate world.
I know, and I definitely want to get into the corporate world and entrepreneurship from your perspective, you know. But before that, I want to get, you know, a little deeper into your music path, right? Like, you, this was sort of a gradual yet steady momentum. I remember 2017 when, you know, when you were senior week in BC, you were DJing. And after that, you've done plenty of gigs at bars in Allston, where you've been featured
the
on
draft.
Friday night. Yeah, the draft. You know, for, you know, in the Boston area, the draft. I'm sure everyone listening knows the draft. Like, how you went from DJing. So I guess what was that environment like? Just what was the process like of you putting together music? The whole process of getting ready for those Friday nights. It was showtime. I just remember being there all the time and having a great time with the music. What was that like? Just being in the Boston area and being a DJ in Boston.
It was fun. I mean, let's see. You definitely deal with a lot of drunk people, and drunk people can be not so friendly sometimes. So I feel like it kind of like steeled my nerve a little bit in some respects, because I used to be a pretty kind of like passive pushover person, and now I feel like, you know, I'll hold my ground if I feel like I'm being disrespected. But yeah, DJing around the Boston area, it the first couple times I like prepped and had stuff worked out, but once you get into like the flow of it, you can kind of wing it, you know, like basically when you DJ, how you transition is you take like the first like 16 or 32 bars of a track. This is like in general, and then mix like the intro of one track with the outro or like the end of a section of another track. And you just kind of like make smooth that process over. So once you get used to that, you can sort of like pretty much wing it at bars and clubs. If I ever get to do like a festival and play my original music, you know, the first couple of those will definitely be planned out because I'll be a nervous wreck. But yeah, and then you have like sets of like two or three songs that just like work well together where you're like, okay, if I need to set shit off, you know, I can resort to this real quick.
Well, that's where I was going to go with that. So it sounds like you have a playlist of songs that you're basically going to roll from shows on to shows over. Now, as far as the crowd, because obviously, you know, with drinks and the vibe of the night, people can either really want to turn up or they might want to lower it a little bit. So do you have songs where you're like, okay, when you feel that the crowd is really ready to rile up, you got this song in the back ready to just go boom and set people off? Is it kind of like that?
Yeah, there are a couple of them. The last time I was DJing a lot was college age, which I feel like throwbacks are pretty big. But yeah, for chill stuff, I usually play like house shit, like deep house stuff. And then yeah, for setting people off, when I was DJing in BC and playing like college bars and stuff, it'd be, you know, like Mr. Brightside, like Super Bass, Get Low. What else? I can't think of a lot of stuff off the top of my head, but stuff like that. Bieber stuff is popular. Whatever funny, was on the radio 20 years ago.
It's funny you bring up throwbacks because, you know, at Colby Sawyer, people love throwbacks there too. Yeah, to the point where I'm like, see, my roommate was so hip to music, so I always got the newest stuff coming out. So that would kind of annoy me sometimes. I'm like, all right, man, like, I don't mind a throwback. But now, but at that point, since I was always so like, kept up, I get it though. Like, throwbacks are huge in college. Now, in this, you know, in this business of music, and you touched on it, it sounds like, how important is it to be mentally tough and have thick skin? Because, you know, you talked briefly about how when you were DJing in the Boston area, there were times when, you know, for example, you'd have some drunk people giving you a hard time. I guess I kind of want to open it up and say, how important or how helpful was it for you to get that experience being in that environment where it could be hostile at times, as well as DJing while you were in college as well? How important were those experiences to what you're doing now?
I think, well, it's pretty unrelated to what I'm doing right now because I'm pushing the original music production pretty hard, which I think like the idea with that is if, you know, you get enough fans from that, you get to be able to start playing shows, and it's this like whole cyclical effect. But yeah, like once I, you know, hypothetically, hopefully, knock on wood, get back into like the live playing scene, it'll definitely be helpful just in terms of like keeping a level head around difficult human beings. Also, like sometimes the nightlife industry can be a little sus, so you know, navigating that is definitely a good skill set.
Yeah, and I correct me if I'm wrong, this was before you started making your own music, but fun fact, one of your songs opened up for one of arguably the greatest EDM artist of all time, right? Marshmello. You had a song that opened up at one of his concerts, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so he came for like a show at BC, and then I got to like open a set for him. It was more like I played other people's music, but that was like one of the events that was like a catalyst to me wanting to produce my own music, because I got on the stage and I just had like just like a shit ton of adrenaline. I was so amped. I remember being like sober as a duck because I was like, I don't want to fuck up in front of him.
Yeah.
He ended up being mad late, so like it wasn't an issue. But yeah, it definitely helped promote that. And then that tied in with the college DJing. It was just like people were starting to be like, oh, like Zola, you're a dope DJ. And I was like, I mean, I guess, well, you know, what's that mean? I don't make my own music. And I kind of felt like a bit of a fraud almost. So that mixed with the fact that I really liked EDM kind of like pushed me towards maybe experimenting, starting to produce my own.
Yeah, in recent years, you've made the transition from being a DJ to now you're creating your own music. You have a shit ton of songs on, you know, Spotify, many
other. Yeah, trying to do one a month.
Some of these songs have had hundreds of thousands of views, and it's crazy. Talk to me about how you made the transition from being a DJ to being an independent artist who creates his own songs. What was that process like in making the transition?
Yeah, so it was definitely like a very gradual transition. You know, like I was DJing a ton and then I was just like dipping my toe in the water with music production. So the first couple of times I, you know, opened up, I started on Logic. The first couple of times I opened it was maybe like once a month or whatever, like throughout, I want to say like sophomore year, maybe towards the end of sophomore year, early junior year. And then, yeah, that like very slowly increased. I went to Berkeley, as I mentioned, I got a little depressed there and just kind of like avoided music for a hot sec. And I did software sales at Synopsys and I was like, oh damn, I definitely like music. So yeah, I've just been doing that. And I kind of blanked on what your question was, but did I answer it?
Yeah, no, you did answer. I actually kind of forgot it for a second too. And, you know, We're in a time now where people are really starting to take the conversation of mental health seriously. You know, me and you have had serious talks about my struggles, you know, with anxiety, depression, as well as yours. And you were really there for me in a tough time in my life where I was basically struggling to cope. I have definitely seen there's a spark, like there's this sort of energy in you that, you know, that we've talked about, and I know it's definitely come from how music has found you in life. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there who I've met who are also struggling with anxiety, depression, and they don't really know what they want to do with their life. And that's a lot, and that's contributing to a lot of it. I want to talk about, you know, your experience and, you know, how hard was that for you when you were overseas in grad school and, you know, times really got tough? Like, was, you know, I'm sure, like, it, I'm kind of rambling right now, but I want to know more about what that was like for you in life and how is that sort of, you know, yeah, this sounded a lot better in my head, but I guess, you know, I want to know how important was it, I guess, for you to find music and as far as, you know, your mental health, like what was that like just, you know, kind of being depressed in college? Because I went through that, especially in college where I didn't want to have anything to do with media when I graduated. Like I was burned out. I was done. It was depressing. It was dark. It was very tough. And it like, I was out of that business for a long time. I'd like to hear yours, you know, your sort of side of the story.
Yeah, definitely. So sure. Like mental health is definitely something now that I'm really focusing on because it's kind of hard being an artist, you know, without much like fiscal return. But yeah, at Berkeley, there's like a couple of scenarios that just like put me in a bad mindset. I felt like I was a little in over my head in terms of production. Like there were kids there way better than me and I had sort of just started figuring it out. I was like, oh, did they just accept me for tuition money? Like shit like that. Then like my apartment got broken into. Like a cab drove off with a bunch of my luggage and music shit. I was having some relationship issues, just like a lot of shit like stacked up. So I started just like skipping all my classes and playing video games with like Tyler and the homies, which was definitely a form of escapism, but whatever. Maybe it's what I needed at the time. And then now with like the mental health stuff is more just like, I'm a very like impatient person and a pretty harsh critic of myself, I think I would say. So it's like very hard to like balance, like I feel like I sometimes I pick things up quickly and music, there's just like you can't really like rush the process, like it just I don't know. So it's hard, you know, putting a song out a month, like pseudo busting my ass while like trying to worry about being unemployed and having a job and then just like not getting much recognition in return. This year definitely in particular has not been good for upcoming artists just because there's no shows and shit. But yeah, I'm hoping Denver changes up the scenario a little bit. And then I'm trying to just like meditate, take it easy.
Yeah, I remember the last time I went to see you, which was like a year ago, I quickly peeped. I remember like you had like a whole, it wasn't like a vision board, but it was sort of like a mantra. Yeah, you know, if you want to show the camera. And I thought that was so powerful because I think that this, especially for an artist, when, you know, like, you know, whether you're an artist like yourself or you're a broadcaster like me, we are in a business that does drive itself from people's approval. They're, you know, like you're looking to get people to invest in you. And that can be very emotionally draining because on the one hand, you want to, you know, we're not taught how to love ourselves and to know how to give love or receive love. So, you know, you see, there's a reason why people are starting to be a lot more outspoken with their struggles with self-esteem and anxiety, depression, because we're never taught these things. And it's especially tough when you're an artist and your business basically requires you to, in some ways, be a people pleaser.
Yeah.
It seems like you've gotten a lot better at balancing, you know, making sure that you're taking care of your own health and your own happiness and your own well-being and not totally making about everybody else and everything. And that's kind of the war that artists and content creators like yourself have to sort of navigate. And you have been, you've been more outspoken about that with your friends like myself. And that's one of those things that inspired me to put out my documentary, because it's made me understand that we need to have these conversations, because, you know, you might not realize it, but someone's hearing you talking about, you know, your struggles, and that makes them feel more comfortable talking about theirs and thus getting help. And I think people like to see that even more from people they might think, like celebrities or artists that might seem like they have everything together. It's really good. It just works itself out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, mental health is super important. Mm-hmm. And then also, yeah, as you said, with like celebrities and artists, I feel like there's like this innate kind of quality of, yeah, wanting to please other people because, you know, you're making stuff for mass consumption. And that is sort of like the metric that dictates whether or not you can do it for a living to a certain extent.
Yeah, and, you know, you brought up the financial aspect of it too. You know, especially when you want to be a creative entrepreneur like yourself, you know, many people, whether it's artists or YouTubers or influencers, you don't get the money right away and it's not guaranteed. And that can be very stressful because you in some ways you're working harder as an independent than you are for a company, because if anything fails, you can't blame your coworker, you can't blame your boss, you can't blame the company. It all directly falls on you. And especially in our field, you know, whether you want to work up the corporate ladder or not, when you're in that sort of production company, we both know the jobs don't pay anything in the beginning. It's not till you get your second or third, even fourth job, where you can probably think about buying a house. How, you know, I guess, but that also, I think, makes entrepreneurship so admirable in my eyes, because it takes a lot of mental toughness and fortitude to go that route. What, for me, entrepreneurship means a lot of things. You said freedom. What does entrepreneurship in that sense mean to you?
Yeah, I guess close to freedom. So the way I think about it is, if you work for a salary or a company, you're in some way serving a creative, like higher up the end, you know, like the person that founded the company, the CTO, you know, in whatever aspect, you know, if they were creative with coding, with marketing, with product development, whatever. So I think entrepreneurship is like at like a very core level, being like, you know, that creative, that person that like, you know, has their business. And yeah, a big part of that for me is definitely independence and freedom. I've had like a couple work scenarios where, I don't know, I've felt like a little smothered by managers. And I don't know, sometimes I feel a little smarter than people in the corporate world. Not, you know, obviously it's a big fucking world, not the whole world, but during my brief experiences, I've definitely felt a little kind of like creatively and intellectually smothered, and like a bit like a robot, like, you know, someone, I don't know, that was like 17 could be doing what I'm doing. So yeah, that turned into more of like a fuck the corporate world than what entrepreneurship means to me. But
well, you know, it's funny because I'm getting real One Piece vibes hearing this from you right now. The anime reference for my viewers, but you've seen a little bit of One Piece. The main character basically, like, he wants to be the king of the world, not because he wants to step in anyone's throats, but he wants to be able to do whatever the hell he wants whenever he wants to. And
I think I just want to be able to visit the boys in Cambridge, play a show in LA, hang with the homies there for a bit. I don't want
to. And I think that's something that is really awesome to shoot for, because I see reports from Forbes and other outlets come out all the time saying how, you know, more than 50% of Americans aren't happy with their jobs, right? You're taught to sort of assimilate and work for somebody else. You're not taught to have dreams and pursue your dreams. And I've noticed there are a lot of people who want to be doing something different, but they're afraid because they don't want to be the nail that stands up and gets hammered down, because nobody wants to be embarrassed. Nobody wants to be rejected, myself included. You know, it's some of it, like the fear of rejection is a physical pain too. It's like a stabbing wound, right? It's like there's been studies about this. Like rejection feels like you're literally being stabbed or shot with a gun. And unfortunately, because of that, it stops a lot of us from even trying. And maybe we do try, and the first time we get shot down, or someone doesn't like our music or our content, or they call us ugly, like that's it. And, you know, I guess like how you've been in this game for a little while, so you can speak to, you know, how the challenge, I guess, is of just pushing through all of the sort of the naysayers and, you know, the X, Y, and Z. I guess how important has that, you know, what I guess, how has that shaped you into who you are now?
Yeah, let's see. I mean, I don't know how much like dealing with the rejection has shaped me. Maybe it's like made me a little tamer, I don't know, or the weed, who knows. But in terms of like just like pushing through it, I think having like a good friend group is really dope. You know, like people that just like believe in you, even if like the stuff isn't there yet, like they believe in sort of like your character and like your drive or like your energy. That's been really beneficial. I have been fortunate enough to have like a couple labels interested. But yeah, I mean, basically when I get a song finished, like mixed, mastered, and done, I do like my label submissions, and I just try to like emotionally distance myself, like whatever, like if labels don't fuck with it. Luckily, like one of my favorite songs that I put out, Said and Done, I just put it out, like all the labels rejected it, and I don't give a fuck, it's a banger, you know, and yeah, it's one of my favorite songs. So also just like, yeah, if you can steal your wool and like get to the point where you start to feel proud of what you're doing, that's a good way to keep with it.
That's powerful. Now we got to talk about your music, my friend. We're going to talk about a couple of songs. I just want to pull up my phone so I can give the exact count, but your song Said and Done, which I believe came out maybe a month or two ago,
or 20.
This was a very different song from what you put out before. And we talked about this off screen before, how you wanted to experiment with hip hop, and
yeah.
This song Said and Done has over 38,000 views on Spotify. And honestly, like every song you put out to me is better than the one before. Like I literally enjoy every song you put out more. And I mean that in a positive way. I feel like you're getting better with each song, but mm-hmm. I know you're particularly very proud of Said and Done. What was it like putting out this song? Because the other songs, you know, were a little more EDM centric. This one was a lot more hip hop, Juice WRLD. You know, there's Juice WRLD inspiration here. What was it like making this song?
Dude, it was awesome. This one is just like one of the ones where like the different elements like just came together. Yeah, this past year I've been listening to like a lot of kind of like sadder, like more kind of like emo rap, like Juice WRLD, like some of the MGK stuff, Black, Trippy. I've been listening to a lot of Slow Tie as well. But anyways, yeah, putting this one out, I got like the rough vocals back from the vocalist who did like a rough phone recording, and like right off the bat, I was like, oh, this is fucking fire. Like, you know, because vocals carry a lot of kind of like emotional weight in songs. And then, yeah, I just managed to stay creative long enough to do some little sound design tricks in the second drop, and shit kind of like came together.
Said and Done, I feel, has the perfect vibe. It can be a nice cool down song when I'm driving to get groceries, but I could also put this on at the club and like this could go off, right? Like this this could be a jam at 11:55. It's got a great energy to it. It's one of my favorites. I listen to it all the time. Another song, and I want to talk about the cover as well. We'll start with it. I'll start with the cover art, and then I will transition into the next song.
All right.
So this cover art, it's got a couple pictures of you. It's very anime inspired, and I've noticed that with a lot of your music covers, there's a lot of anime inspiration in here. That can't be by accident. how
closer.
Anime is such anime is such an interesting thing nowadays, because I remember when I was a kid growing up, that was something that you had to keep on the down low, right? You were the weird kid if you were into anime, if you rocked with Yu-Gi-Oh cards and Pokemon cards at a certain age, you were the kid that got bullied, you didn't have any friends, all that stuff. Well, now we're seeing a huge culture shift. We got people like Meg Thee Stallion, Juice WRLD, Michael B. Jordan, NFL, it's become a lot. All the cool kids, so to speak, are rocking with it now, and I'm noticing it's just grown in general. How did you get into anime, and how has it influenced you in music? It's a loaded question, so feel free to take your time with it.
No worries. I first got into anime ripping, like, you know, the early Naruto on Cartoon Network, like once a week. I didn't watch it all the way through, but like, I remember some of like the scenes that really stuck out to me as a kid that like blew my mind were like early on when he fights, it's like Kakashi, him, Sasuke, and then I think, is it Haku? The one with like the ice mirrors. Haku. The first time you see him turn into the fox spirit, I was like, oh fuck, I got like goosebumps. And then I like took a break from it for a bit until I just thought it was cartoons. I didn't even know like what anime was. I saw Avatar, obviously. And then, yeah, more in like high school, like when we started being boys, when I started being like Daher, all the homies, I started watching a bit more. And yeah, now it's like, you know, we have our VRV, our group chat. Whenever some new shit comes out, we peep it. Demon Slayer, obviously lit. Jujutsu Kaisen. It's all on the come up. I also think that's mirroring like the whole like esports gaming world on the come up. I think they're pretty.
That's true. Related. Yeah.
And hopefully EDM with that. And then in terms of like influence on music, Porter Robinson was like one of the artists that inspired me to start producing my own music. And I know he takes like a lot of melodic influences from anime / like Japanese music in general. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think in some of my, for example, like I think my most recent release is Change My Mind. There's like a little piano melody part that was like very Porter Robinson-esque that I thought would sound good there. And yeah, so like melodies, maybe like some slight harmonies. And then obviously the whole cover art, graphic design aspect, I'm trying to make that like my brand. Cause I don't love like posing in front of cameras too much.
Yeah. What was the I'm a huge fan of all your cover arts, of course, because I'm a total anime, I'm a huge anime geek myself. What was the inspiration for that one in particular? You got this two of you, and then there's the devil you. Like, what went into that?
Yeah, so I don't know, it's just like my little vision, sort of. Basically, so when I was thinking about what I wanted to do for branding, I was like, okay, I want an anime artist to draw photos of like me and any artist I work with, and then a graphic artist to turn that into cover art. With this song, it was like the first one that I was releasing that was like a little more kind of like dark, like a little heavier. So I really wanted to like emphasize that kind of like dark, like haunting vibe. And in my head, I like pictured that, not nearly as good. I drew like a little shitty stick figure. If you give me 2 minutes, I actually might have a photo.
Yeah, go ahead. I remember seeing it, but I love the art, see it too. I was like, I might have to hit up that artist for a commission myself.
Yo, I want to get the friend group. We should just get like a fucking a gang pic.
Like that art, for him to take that drawing that you had and to turn into what it did. That was like turning.
I wrote some art.
That was like turning dirt into a diamond. Like that is, no disrespect to your drawing, but like I see anime drawings all the time because like anime's all over my feed. For him to do that, like that's top notch.
I was hype.
I watch a lot of anime content, and so much of it is how hot your thumbnail is. That guy, his art is harder than 90% of what I've seen on the anime content.
Like,
that art itself was chef's kiss, man. Jack would say barbecue chicken. That was seriously. Oh man.
Where is this shit? Give me 2 minutes. And if I
No problem.
I can just call it a scratch. Go through. Hmm. Yeah, bro. I don't know if I'm. Nope, I don't have it. Okay. Oh well. Someday. Someday it'll be revealed.
Oh, don't worry. I'll if you got me the picture, I'll post it on my Instagram and hype it up.
Bro, I got you. I got you.
Man, now we got to talk about. I'm trying to tag you in this Instagram post right now. I can't even tag it. But we got to – so I want to briefly talk about Demon Slayer because you brought it up. Demon Slayer has been one of the hottest anime and manga to come out in the past couple of years. The movie just came out. It broke record numbers, not just in Japan, but even in America as well. It's the second highest grossing film of all time. The only thing it didn't beat was the first Pokemon movie, but it's Pokemon. Pokemon's basically like Jesus.
Yeah, it's like the fourth one.
There's a video game coming out later this year, and there's also a new season coming out later this year. Have you seen the movie yet?
I have seen the movie. Indeed.
What'd you think?
I thought it was really good. I wouldn't say I was like blown away with plot per se. I was definitely surprised that they killed off the
Flame Hashira.
Yeah, that was definitely a twist that I was not foreseeing. I didn't love that the whole train turned into like the demon.
Yeah, I know that would have been a miss.
But yeah, outside of that, obviously like the Demon Slayer animation is top notch. Like the 3D modeling stuff they do is really sick. I don't know if that's the technical term, but
yeah,
like camera angle switching that wasn't around during like earlier, you know.
Did you watch it in theaters or did you watch it?
I did the stream link that posted in the group.
It's funny because I watched the stream link. First off, I thought like I had chills watching that movie, especially like the final fight between Rengoku and the upper moon. I actually took my buddy to see that movie last week, and he's not even into anime like that. He got chills watching it. To me, that was the perfect movie to introduce somebody to anime that doesn't really know what it's about, but it's curious. I thought the animation and the music were great.
That's a good idea too with the movie, because it's like sometimes some animes, it's like you got to be like, okay, like I'll show you this, but you got to watch like seven episodes.
Yeah, straight,
and then you'll get it. You know,
yeah, so like he definitely would have been like, he watched like maybe the first couple episodes. That's one of those movies that you need context to fully enjoy it. But I think as a theater experience, if you even just know a little, maybe just a little bit something about it, I think you can come out of that movie like, okay, like there's actually something here. It's not, this is still a cartoon, but this is actually a pretty badass cartoon. And like you said, like him dying, like the flame pillar dying at the end was just, it was one hell of a cliffhanger, man. That he went out like a boss, though. I mean, you know, I guess like, what are you most looking forward to for season two? Like, this is a highly anticipated season.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm looking forward to like more development into like the King Demon dude. What's his name? Like
Muzan.
Mitsubishi. Yeah. Okay. Muzan.
Yeah. The dude like Michael Jackson.
Yeah. I want to know like a little more about him. I'm interested to see Nezuko's like powers develop a little more, and then also the kind of like potentially Tanjiro's older brother character, the other Hashira. Yeah, that guy, I want to know a little more about him as well.
I'm definitely looking forward to looking to seeing more of the upper moons. I want to see more of the Hashira.
Yeah, seeing some of the Hashiras go off would be sick.
That's really when Demon Slayer like for me went to another level. I love the arc when all the Hashira got introduced. I love their character designs. I love their personalities. I hated them obviously because they tried to kill Tanjiro's sister, but they were just so dope. I'm like, I can't wait to see each of you guys in action. I hope we get as many episodes for season two as we got for season one, because I like there's still so much story to tell, and I want them to, you know, basically adapt all of it. I haven't read the manga, so I'm just going into this blind. I just can't wait, man. I miss when me and you used to get together on like Friday and Saturday nights and just like, you know, have a watch whatever was popping. Man, I wish I could reveal what my next video is going to be, because it would relate to Demon Slayer, but I'll save that for another day. Right. Let's talk about another song that had an anime inspired cover as well. You talked specifically about how this song was a unique project as well. The song you made with KG Lily, and I believe it's called The Real Thing. What was it like working on The Real Thing?
That one was fun.
That's my favorite, by the way. That's my favorite song.
Oh, yeah?
It is.
Like the first one where I was kind of like, all right, fuck it. I'm just going to mess around and see what comes out. And yeah, so a lot of what I had been producing was like halftime 150 BPM, like future bass stuff. Mm-hmm. So like that kind of like headbangy shit.
Yeah.
And this I was like, I'll do like a house beat at the same BPM. So like a fast kind of like Euro house beat. And then I just kind of like filled the space in around those drums. I found KG, I think, on Instagram, and I hit her up. And yeah, her voice sounded amazing on it. Usually when I'm like producing, I have like a certain like type of voice in my head. And if I can find someone like close to that voice that I was imagining, it's usually a good fit. It happened with No Words, Said and Done. One of the ones I'm working on now that just got signed, that is unreleased. I'll actually send that to you. It's a banger. But yeah, and then I hit her up, sent her like the rough beat, and she sent me the vocals back, and I finished up the rest of the instrumental and got it mixed and mastered.
Every month I'm looking forward to that next song, and this will go into my next question. I don't know how many months has it been. It seems like for the past 6 months, like 6 months to the three quarters of a year, you've basically been dropping a new song at the end of every month.
We're cutting it close for July though. I cut it close for June too.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to keep up.
What has it been like for you trying to keep up with the deadline and also consistency, momentum? Because those are the type of things that I always hear from, you know, the content creators who have been in the game for 15, 20 years. They always talk about momentum, consistency. Those are two of the biggest things. How important has it been for you to put out songs consistently on a monthly basis? Because you've been on a consistent run now for, it seems like a while now, at least 6 months. I know for that for a fact.
Yeah, it's tough. It's hard because like there's an aspect of it that isn't on my kind of like timeline. So like hypothetically speaking, if I send like an instrumental or an idea to a vocalist and they take like 3 months to do it, then I sort of, that timeline gets fucked a little bit. But I'm trying to keep up. It definitely adds a little stress just like thinking about like, oh, what am I going to release next month? And then also like, oh, am I pitching this to labels? Because if a song gets, so like one song just got signed to a label and they're like, our release schedule's booked for the next 5 months. So like that comes out in October. So I'm set for October, but I'm still worried about July. So that's definitely a little stressful. But you know, it's not the end of the world. If I don't get one out a month, I just try to stick to like the goals I set for myself if possible. Yeah.
Well, one of the things I can definitely relate to with my internship experience at some of these big news outlets is those deadlines are hella stressful. And I think people on the outside don't realize how much time and preparation goes into whether that's a 3-minute song or a 2 or 3 minute news package. In news, you're basically out there shooting all day, doing interviews all day, having to drive to such and such. In music, you're going through so many different types of beats and melodies and, you know, crisscross that cross with the back in mind that, yo, this has to get done by a certain amount of time. And so you're always balancing the deadline aspect with making sure that you can get something out quality. And there have been time, there are times when you release something on news or you release a song and you hear stories how, you know, maybe you had to sacrifice a little bit of quality to meet the deadline or even something like that. You had to extend the deadline so you could kind of turn out to be. And that's just another thing that I really do admire about you is you are holding yourself to that standard. But also I understand how difficult that shit really is. And it also makes me, you know, worry is probably the easiest word I can use. I guess it's something that I'd say I'm mindful of, because even just in that short time I was there, I know how stressful that can be to have to keep up with that. It's the nature of the beast. But it's a very deadly beast with fangs. And so I do want to say that it's so, for me as a fan, it just makes me so excited to know that there's a new song coming for you. I get so amped for it, the bi-week beast that you put out. Now I guess we can talk about how you've been promoting yourself. Your Instagram is basically how I keep up with everything that's going on with you. How important is the marketing aspect of the brand that you're trying to build, or just brand building in general?
More important than however important I think it is. I hate it. I hate brand building and I hate social media. Like I don't mind like social media with like on an individual scale, like sharing with my friends, shit like that. But it kind of sucks that like I have to be busting my ass in like something that I'm not trying to like make it with, if that makes sense. Like yeah. I'd prefer to be busting my ass on music and that be the only thing I have to worry about. But yeah, trying to keep up with posting weekly on social media. Like I tried TikTok for a week, you know, Instagram is like, I can barely manage that. So I'm just hoping to like generate enough plays and hopefully like get some label interest or like someone on board to help out at some point in the future. But for now, I have like a weekly post schedule. I try to do like a bi-week beat, a gaming post, a bi-week beat, a personal post, and then, you know, like sprinkle in posts about upcoming releases in there. And try to spread that out, but it's definitely something I struggle with and something I'm not super amped about is part of like the dream.
Yeah, well, I feel the same way as you. I like social media for posting jokes and memes and, you know, posting pictures with my friends. Despite what people may think from the outside, I actually hate posting when it's for brand promotion. I wish I could just do that. I wish I could just do the product and have, I don't know, and just have someone else market it. I hate having to do that myself.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's just one of those things where I just don't feel comfortable marketing myself. I wish there was someone else who could do the marketing for me and I could just do it myself. I'd rather, if I'm going to post on social media, I'd rather just be jokes and just shits and giggles with my friends. I don't like that portion of the business aspect of it. And I think that kind of goes into this. I don't want to feel like I'm a people pleaser kind of thing. I just want the work to speak for itself. But, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, the marketing is just as if not more important than the actual work itself, because there are plenty of famous people out there who are not very good at what they do, but because they are so good at promoting themselves, they have a great promotion team, which I don't want to discredit that either. They're able to market themselves so well that they manage to stay at the top of the food chain. So, you know, I think it's important. It's definitely an aspect that I'm not too fond of myself either, but you know, for what it's worth, like me watching you go about it, first off, I think you're doing a great job. And it also inspires me to, you know, keep up posting for my brand and things of that nature as well. We've definitely got a lot of the, I don't know if you want to talk about this now, but it sounds like, but you've got a new song coming up soon. It sounds like it's going to be dropping either at the end of this week or next week.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's another track with KG Lilla, and that comes out in 6 days, 5 days, this Saturday. It's out this Saturday at midnight.
I'm hella looking forward to that one, bro. Like I cannot wait, man. I'm really amped for that.
Let me know what you think. I'm excited to release it.
Seriously, like that's the first song you did with KG Lilla was my favorite by far. And it sounds like she's also a pretty big anime fan herself. So I thought that was a little nice touch as well.
Yeah. KG's cool.
Yeah. Now we're about to get to the, I would say, the final act of the interview, so to speak. This is cool because I feel like this is honestly the most natural I feel like my interviews have ever done. Normally,
it's easy to talk to you.
It's just smooth, man. It's just smooth. Let's see. Well, man, I feel like I'm kind of getting nervous because this might actually be my last question. Let's see. Well, okay. Perfect. Yes. So for those who don't know, you recently moved to Denver.
Oh yeah.
You spoke about this a ton off camera. Moving to Denver, part of the move was about putting yourself in a position to grow your brand and your label even more. Fortunately, you moved out there in the middle of a pandemic. You talked about this briefly. I'll talk about the piano too. I got to remember to bring up the piano. I'll do that. I'll bring out the piano afterwards. But what has the scenery been for you as an artist in during this pandemic? Because you said it was tough. I'm sure it's been crazy. How did the pandemic affect the music?
Yeah, it definitely took a mental health toll. I've just been feeling like, so I got COVID laid off, and I've been feeling like super disconnected from people. And then like the whole music thing kind of like, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people in the world pursue things for money, right? And I'm pursuing the music thing for freedom and like, you know, in some sense, like freedom from money and like that, like dependence on it. So it kind of feels like my values are a bit different than a lot of like the people that I've met slash like I went to college with and shit like that. So yeah, it's definitely taken its toll. I got a little intense because like I was COVID laid off and the dream is the music thing. So like at that point in time, like music was my thing and I wasn't making any money from it. So it just felt like it was like really hammering and kind of like the failure vibe, like mentally. So yeah, I just kept like trying to like force myself to sit down for like longer and like more times a day, which I think is probably not good for creativity. So like this past recently, maybe like week or two, I'm trying to take like a week or two off and maybe sit down for like a longer chunk of time in one sitting as opposed to like multiple like 1 to 2 hour chunks. But yeah, COVID's been rough for sure for everyone, yeah. Obviously.
I was COVID laid off too. I was struggling even harder with depression during being laid off. And I've seen so many reports, right? The anxiety, the suicide, depression rates have skyrocketed during the pandemic. You know, people who were dealing with this stuff before went to a whole other level, and people who never dealt with any of these symptoms on a high level before developed it. So especially people like ourselves who are creators, like we feed off the vibes of being around people. I'm sure as a creator, you know, you've gotten ideas, inspiration just by being around friends or, you know, whatever, being at a bar or whatever, not having that connection to be able to draw inspiration from is painful. And losing your job is no joke either. One of the things I really wanted to emphasize, you know, based on what you're saying is when so much of our life is that job itself. When you lose that during these times, it's like, it feels like you're losing a piece of your soul. It's like, whether you like that job or not, your day is typically structured around it, and losing that job and not knowing where the world's at and not knowing if your friends or family have COVID and whether you're going to catch it. It's no joke. I'm in the same boat as you. I obviously COVID laid off. I'm looking for work right now too. And not being around people, it really made me feel like I was alone because I wasn't able to really talk to people my age or in general, seeing, hey, how are you doing with your health? How you doing financially wise, things of that nature. When we were in college, we saw what everybody was doing. We saw people did homework. We saw people partied. Now we're going through some shit and we're not able to feed off our friends and acquaintances for, you know, guidance. So I definitely feel that as well. I want to say that watching you has definitely given me inspiration to get back to building my brand. And I'm in the same boat as you. I never, you know, talking about money, I don't do this for money. And this is something I try to tell my parents, like, I would not do this for money. I said I would take at my last job, I was willing to take less money to do something like this. I just, for me, it's about freedom just like you, but it's also about, there are so many amazing people, brands out there like yourself. I want to be able to tell those stories. I'm a big fan of what you do, I guess. And this is why I have you here right now, because I want more people to see what you're doing. And I've met plenty of people who look up to you and they look up to people doing this type of stuff. And they need that. I want them to see what it looks like and that they can do it too if they try. It's not going to be easy at all, but it's definitely something worth pursuing. And we're all connected in many more ways than we realize. There's a lot of division too, and there's some idiots out there, but definitely when you sort of take away the veil, you see there's a lot more on the inside. But yeah, man, it's just, I'll just end my rambling there and just say I'm really proud of the work that you're doing. And yeah, before I wrap this interview off, I just want to – oh, yeah, I forgot who we talked before that. Okay, I got two – we'll talk about the piano, and then we'll talk about – and then I'll wrap this up. But I honestly forgot what I'm sorry.
The piano, you said?
Yeah, I mean, do you still – you know, I didn't know that you were in the pianos growing up. But is that – do you still play the piano now?
No, not really. I played piano for maybe like 12 or 13 years. Right now I'm in the process of trying to teach myself guitar so I can like play it in my songs. I actually have a beat I'm working on right now that's just, it's me on guitar. And actually in Said and Done, like the melody riff was played by like my mentor / coach. Mm-hmm. But there's, in the buildup, there's like a pretty reverbed out like electric guitar. It's like two notes being played rhythmically, and that was me. I like plugged a quarter inch in. Yeah. So like technically I'm playing guitar on Said and Done a little bit.
But, I'm telling you, Said and Done is just so distinct in just the most awesome way. This is why I have you here, and obviously you're one of my best friends, but I want people to see the amazing person that you are and the amazing work and grind and hustle that you're doing. I've told you before, like, you are already one of the most important people in my life and one of the biggest inspirations in my life. And no matter what happens from here, I'm already proud of you. You've already helped me understand the value of life, but also purpose and just so many other things. I could honestly write a book about it, which maybe I'll do another day, but, you know, before I wrap this up, I want to know what, you know, so what's next, I guess. Is there, like, I know it's kind of crazy. Like, how about we keep this more in the
first of all, well, thank you for I didn't want to like cut you off, but thank you for like saying I'm an inspiration and that you fuck with my music and everything. Like, obviously you're one of my best friends in the world, and like hearing shit from you about that makes me want to pursue music more. So that's like this nice little circle. Anyways, sorry, I cut you off.
No. My fault, I guess. I'm like, again, like, I've never had an interview just feel this natural before. Like, I'm supposed to having a look at questions, you know. That, crazy. That's a good sign, though. But, so this is more like, I guess, in the immediate future. Obviously, you've got a song coming out. We want to look forward to that. What, I guess, like, is there anything special coming up during the summer? I mean, you've also got a gaming channel that you started as well. I guess, like, what can we expect from Zola this summer?
Hopefully, a release a month. More gaming content for sure. I'm hoping to apply to some shows. There's some venues in Denver that are, like, based around more, like, underground, undiscovered artists. And, like, that wasn't really something that was available in Boston. It was more, like, how much of a promoter are you willing to be? which for me is 0% a promoter. So I'm hoping there are a little more opportunities that are like, you know, have someone with an ear toward the music. And hopefully my music is suiting for their tastes.
Producing. Are you opening up now in Denver?
Yeah. Denver is like sort of like a little more southern than Cambridge for sure. Like more of those influences. So I feel like it fully opened maybe like 3 weeks ago, a month ago, something like that. Sure. But yeah, people here just like don't really give a fuck.
Well, closing captions. Was there anything, my friend, that I did not address that you feel that is there anything that you wanted to talk about that I had that maybe I haven't addressed yet?
No, not really. I'll play you a song I finished at like after this is over if you want to hear an unreleased thing.
All right, yeah, send it to me. By the way, I was trying to check out the Sun. Those mixes that you had on SoundCloud.
Oh, yeah.
They're private now. I was trying to listen
they're
to it.
Private?
Like, yeah.
Did my manager make them private? Oh, shit. My manager made
them. Yeah.
No cut. Yo, I think my manager took them down. That's hilarious. Oh. Wait, no, they might not. Let me see. One, let's see if this link works. I'll send it to you on Facebook.
Word. Yeah, man. Whenever I go out anywhere, and whether it's my CSC buddies or whatever, I'm always bumping your music. Like it's literally it's natural to me. I I'm going to the gym. I was bumping your song at the gym today. Like, I'll bump it when I'm in the shower. I'll bump it when I'm driving.
Put some weight to it?
Yeah. Like, it's just natural, man. It's smooth. Music that I can relax to, but also I can, you know, the hit the beat drop kind of music. Oh, man. Trust me. But, yeah, bro. I've took an hour and a half out of your time today. I cannot tell you how happy I am. What's today's Tuesday? I know when I'm gonna release. I'll keep that a surprise. But listen, man, we gotta get back on like on a Smash Brothers session or something like
that. Down, bro. I just played Smash last night with.
Yeah, I let you guys down this past week, and I know things happen, but we'll make something happen on Smash. Yeah. But yeah, bro, I love you, appreciate you, man, and I will find my way out to Denver soon. Wrap up now. I gotta, you know, I want so my audience knows where to find you. Where can we find Zola?
Yeah, for sure. Instagram, it's just Zola Music Official. All like one word, no caps, nothing like that. Same on SoundCloud, same on Facebook. And then Spotify, if you just punch in like Zola with all capitals, hopefully I'll show up. There's like 437 Zolas, but I think I've sifted through a couple of them. So I don't know if I'm on the front page, but it's a photo of me with a black background and short hair.
Cool. Well, man, interview will be dropping this week as well as the new song. So big stuff coming up, man. And I'll give you the salute. I'll give you the mile high salute for right now. And we'll talk soon, bro.
Talk soon, man. Thank you.
Man, have a good night.
All right. Peace.
Peace out.